I'm going to miss standing here and looking out at y'all. I really am. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Lens, for leading us. Thank you for Scott, the way you so beautifully led us in that very special, very hard, but appropriate time of reflection as we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What a precious thing. Before I start, I just want to say a massive thank you. That will mainly happen on Saturday night. I hope, I've not been told what the plan is, but I hope I'll get a chance to say a few words. I won't be preaching or anything like that, don't worry, but I definitely would want to say just a huge thank you. But I'm conscious that some people have said that they can't manage, so given that this will be my last chance to do that then, let me just say just what a gift, honour, privilege it has been to be your pastor, to be part of this church family, to minister alongside you, to be encouraged, to help lead along with the other elders and my bro Scott and others. And it's just been, as I've used this little phrase and I feel it deeply, it's been the privilege of a lifetime. And I'm so thankful to God. It's a very overwhelming season for us just now. But it's just soaked in, saturated in gratitude for God's grace. You've been kind in pouring out your love into my family in these days, and I don't deserve that. And I'm very, very grateful to God's grace for each and every one of you. Thank you. I was staggered to find out, as I approach this final sermon, that in 15 years of ministry in this role, I have failed to mention one of my favorite ever Bible passages from the pulpit here. It's in Acts chapter 20. I'd love you to turn there. Paul is in Troas, which is modern day Turkey. He's been there for a week and he's about to leave the following day. And I just love what we learn of Paul in this story. This passage in Acts 20 is a great encouragement, a great blessing to me, and it really truly affirms me in my ministry. Maybe we'll see why. Let's pick up in verse 7 of Acts chapter 20. On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. You can see, friends, why this passage connects with me so much. This is a clear biblical affirmation that long sermons are a blessing from the Lord. I love that it says, since he was about to depart the next day. That was why he kept on talking. He's just like, friends, I've got such good material to share. I've got my three P's and my poem. I got to get through it because I don't want to leave you in lack. So I love that. But then we have to read the whole passage, friends. Maybe it's not a passage about the blessing of long sermons. Maybe it's a cautionary tale. Verse 8. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled, and a young man named Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on talking. Luke, how harsh is that from Luke? He didn't need to say it like that, but he said, as Paul kept on talking, when Eutychus was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. And you think, oh my word, okay. No, this is definitely not a passage all about the blessing of long sermons. But wait, let's keep reading. Verse 10, it says, but Paul went down, bent over him, embraced him, and said, don't be alarmed, because he's alive. So it's incredible. You have this amazing miracle, and you would maybe think, well, that would be a good place to end the story. Eutychus is alive. Praise God. Next chapter. But it does not end there. Verse 11, after going upstairs, breaking the bread, and eating, Paul talked a long time until dawn. Then he left. Did you see this? I mean, this is incredible. Paul preaches a sermon so long that literally someone dies. And then there is a miracle to bring this brother back to life. And then Paul just keeps on going, perhaps to his 10th, 11th, 12th P of his sermon before he gets to the end, right through until dawn. And then it says in verse 12, they brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. It does not clarify whether they were comforted because he was alive or because Paul's sermon was finally over, but we know that they were very, very happy in that moment. So there are two things I love about this story. One, it is, I think we have deduced definitively, conclusively, a blessing and a proof that long sermons are awesome. Okay, hold that into your minds and hearts as you go forward from here. Scott, lean into that, brother. Lean into that in these days. No, more seriously, there is something in this passage that is so beautiful. There is something that we can see in Eutychus here, and it's this. We all get sleepy, don't we? We all get sleepy. I mean, jokes aside, can you imagine how awesome it would have been to be in that room that night? To hear the Apostle Paul share of his testimony of what Jesus did. To hear of how the Lord was leading him to all these new kingdom adventures. I mean, what an awesome privilege the people in that room had. But we all get sleepy. We all get tired. We are human. Our weaknesses naturally kick in. We all get distracted, even from amazing moments. There are a few other places in the scriptures where we see a similar pattern. Remember when Jesus was transfigured and his appearance became as dazzling white? He was transformed. He was literally metamorphosed. And he was shining forth in glory. And Luke's gospel tells us that in that moment, Peter and those who were with him were in a deep sleep. Jesus is shining in glory. Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. And they're sleeping. Or think of Jesus as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to them, stay watch, stay awake and keep watch. And not one time, not two times, but three times, Jesus comes back to them and finds them sleeping for sorrow. Friends, we can relate to this. We get sleepy. And I'm not just talking about during my sermons. That's okay, that's very understandable that sometimes happens. But we get sleepy to the things of God. We get sleepy to His glory and His wonder. And that might, if we're honest, that might be a kind way of putting it. Because sometimes it's not just that we get sleepy, but if we're honest, sometimes it may be more accurate to say we ignore the things of God. Or we are bored by the things of God. Or we prioritize other things. Over the incredible things of God. His word, his work, his power, his presence, his leading. These things can often just fade away into the distance, and before us we see other things that glitter more urgently and take our attention. Dear friends, let's not be sleepy to the glory of God. In these weeks, I have been blessed to have the opportunity just to share a few final messages. And we've been considering who we are together and how one way to frame that is that we are the family of God, sharing the love of God for the glory of God. And in my final message, while one of your pastors, I am so glad that we are able to end on this particular topic. To end looking at and focusing on and praying for a greater revelation of the glory of God. And not just talking about it as one of many important things that we are called to. But the claim here this morning is that living for the glory of God is the most ultimate purpose that we have. We are the family of God. That is part of, a huge part of who we are. We are the family of God. We are to share the love of God. That is a huge part, not all, but a huge part of what we are to do. And the question is why? If that's who we are and that's what we're to do, why? To what end? What is the point of all of this? What is the point of Hillview Community Church? It's for the glory of God. That is why we exist. There is an amazing historical document that has been a great gift to the church. It's a 350-year-old, it's basically a discipleship tool that it runs in a question and answer format, seeking to get to some of the most foundational, important truths of what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. It's called the Westminster Catechism. And the very first question that this asks is this: what is the chief end of man? And that's kind of old school language to say, what is the ultimate purpose that we have? What is this life all about? And the answer it gives is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is what you are called to more than anything else, to glorify God and, or as John Piper likes to amend it, it's a bold move, but I like it. He says, glorify God by enjoying Him forever. As we enjoy His beauty, His grace, His love, that brings Him glory. That is our ultimate purpose in life. That is what we exist for. Now, if that's the case, then we better know what on earth the glory of God is. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the beautiful, awesome, incomparable, shining forth of His perfect character. It is the holiness of God gone public. That is what the glory of God is. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3, you have these seraphim, these heavenly creatures, and it says this: one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. That's who He is. What's the result of that? His glory fills the whole earth. Who He is, and then the display of who He is around the whole earth. In Exodus chapter 33, would you turn please to Exodus? Exodus, we're going to read from Exodus 34, but in Exodus chapter 33, Moses says to God this bold prayer. It's a good prayer to pray with reverent fear. He says, God, show me Your glory. And in verse 19 of Exodus 33, God says, I will cause all of My goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name, the Lord, before you. So again, there is this public manifestation of who God is to Moses in response to his prayer. I want to see your glory. And then let's read verses 5 and 6 of Exodus chapter 34. The Lord came down in a cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord. The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. And again, you have this public announcement, this public declaration of who God is and of what He is all about. Another passage in Psalm 50, verse 2, it says in the ESV, it says, out of Zion, that is to say the dwelling place of God, the place where His character and His holiness and His purity all reside, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. That is the glory of God. Now, these are big, grand, profound, amazing truths. I want to encourage you, don't shy away from things like that in the scriptures, in your weekly gatherings together. These are deep things that you will spend eternity marveling over. They are therefore, by definition, maybe harder to practically understand or to practically map on to our day-to-day realities of what this looks like. But I want to encourage you, soak in these great truths of the shining glory of God. God out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. But we do want to also ask, but what does this look like? What does this look like in real terms tomorrow? And to an extent, with the right heart before God, and with the right eyes to see and the right heart to understand, granted to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the glory of God can look like any moment or place or person or thing that points to the wonder of who He is. We can see God's glory in a beautiful sunset, or in the incredible scenery around about us in the northeast of Scotland, the rolling hills. We can see God's glory there. Why? Because we do not see them and marvel at them as an end in themselves. Oh, what a wonderful bunch of molecules that have been put together there. No, we see them and wonder at the grandeur of God, the Creator, who made this beautiful world, which staggers us if we take time. We can see the glory of God, and we can wonder at the glory of God in a stunning piece of music that moves us. Not as we wonder at the impressive composer. Yes, that's part of it. But we wonder that God is a God who in His beautiful creativity has created infinite numbers of melodies and harmonies that hold together in such beauty and beautiful textures of music that support them, and even drums that hold them all together. And we wonder at this great creative and giving God. And we wonder that He has given us ears that can perceive different waves, lengths and frequencies, and can listen and behold and wonder at something beautiful. And we see God's glory in that. We can behold God's glory in a humble act of service, when someone does something precious and beautiful for us, because we know that any good act of kind and gracious and humble service is but a small reflection of the beautiful and perfect humility of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the servant King. We can see God's gift in the glory of new life, in the wonder of little baby Joseph and our other precious little one that we've welcomed into the church family. I'm so sorry, I forget the little one's name, but that we were celebrating earlier on in our service. We can see God's glory and how He knits together these little ones and brings this new life. And we can see God's glory in how He meets us in our grief, as we lament and mourn the loss of our dear sister, Moira. We can see God's glory everywhere, in a beautiful piece of art, in a complex formula, in a hushed silence, in the smell of freshly baked bread, in the sitting down in our jammies at the end of a long day, in the laughter of children, or in the wiping away of a tear by a loving parent towards a child that they love, in a day's hard work, in the joy and fun and laughter of food and drink around a table. In all these things, we can, if we have a heart to see, if we have eyes to see, we can behold the wonder of God. All these things, anything that is good in our lives, we recognize them as a beautiful gift from God, and we recognize these realities as wonderful things that point to who God is, and in that, God is glorified in the simplest of things. See the glory of God tomorrow morning as you eat your toast. I really mean that. But there is one place beyond all others where we see the glory of God most supremely, most clearly. And it can happen as you're driving in your car. It can happen as you open an app on your phone. It can happen as you kneel by your bed, all of them opening this book in one way or another, whether it's a paper version or an app. It is in the Scriptures. It is in the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ in the Word of God that we see the revelation and the glory of God most clearly. Because as we open the Scriptures, we see Jesus who, as it says in Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says, the Son to whom these Scriptures point, to whom they are all about, whom they are all about, says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression or representation or even copy of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful word. You want to know what the glory of God is? You want to ask, who is the glory of God? And it is found in the person of Jesus. He is the shining forth, the supreme shining forth of the beautiful, perfect, holy character of God. How do we understand this? Well, this is a metaphor, it's an analogy, all of those are flawed, but I find it helpful. Think of the relationship between the sun and the rays of the sun. If we are basking in the sun, as we hope to do over the coming weeks and months, is it the sun or the rays of the sun that we are enjoying in that moment? Well, they're kind of one and the same thing, right? Without the sun, there are no rays of the sun to enjoy. And without us feeling the rays of the sun on us, that is to say the arrival of the power that emanates from the sun, without us feeling the rays of the sun on our face, then there is no enjoying of the sun for us. The sun's rays are the almost bearable, nearby presentation to us of the power and wonder of the sun. And I say almost bearable because even in the northeast of Scotland, we need sun cream when the sun is shining brightly. The sun's rays still require a humble approach, as does the Lord Jesus. And this is like how Jesus radiates the glory of God to us. Jesus is the nearby presentation that we have of the glory of God. He is the radiance, the shining forth of God's glory, Hebrews 1. He is the holiness of God made accessible to us, all because of His grace. We still could not bear this nearby presentation to us of God's glory, but for the grace of God, but for the fact that Jesus stooped down and lived among us, because He went to the cross and beat sin and death, and because He therefore invites us into that life, He is therefore approachable now. He is knowable now. And if we come to Him with reverent fear, if we come to Him with care and humility, we will not be burned up by the consuming fire of His glory, but we can bask in the warmth and the beauty of the radiance of the glory of God. Dear friends, this is what John chapter 1 and verse 14 is all about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and what? We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 is about, where it says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of God's glory. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Friends, the glory of God has a face. And it's the face of the Lord Jesus. Him and Him alone. And if all these other things that I mentioned, your jammies tonight, if they don't point you back to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then we've missed the point of the wonder of jammies. Don't miss the point of the wonder of jammies tonight. Let them bring you back to Jesus. For that is their ultimate purpose. Did you know that? That would be a good advertising campaign, wouldn't it? There we go. Let's not be sleepy about this reality. Let's wonder at this reality. Hillview Community Church, in the days, years, decades, we pray, that are ahead, don't ever get sleepy about the wonder of the glory of God. Now, what does that look like practically? for us as a church family to not be sleepy to the glory of God. I have three encouragements, and I have just another encouragement, which is to say, don't worry, that was not just my introduction, I promise. That was at least half, if not more, of the sermon, okay? But how might we hold on to this? Three encouragements. First thing, Hillview Community Church, receive God's glory. Receive God's glory. Now, I wrestled a little bit with that language. Is that right? That we are to receive God's glory? I think so, if you understand what I'm meaning by that. And one of the reasons I think that is because of what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He prayed for us. There are three parts to Jesus' prayer in John 17. And the last part is for those who would believe in the message that the apostles had. And that's us, right? And this is what Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I have, this verse 22 of John 17, I have given them, us, the glory you have given me. My word, so that they may be one as we are one. The Lord Jesus has given us the glory that the Father gave him. It's almost too much to get our heads around, but my earnest encouragement to you is receive that gift. Receive that gift. That is to say, open your hearts and wonder at this stunning gift from the Lord Jesus. Know the blessing of his goodness. Receive and embrace the wonder of his grace. Let the light of his glory shine on you. Which brings me, friends, to a psalm which is very precious to me, and I hope for all of us as Hillview Community Church. Psalm chapter 67. This was the first psalm I preached on the very first Sunday of the existence of Hillview in this form, Hillview Community Church. And listen to what it says in the first verse of Psalm chapter 67. It says this, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us. I hope you're comfortable with language like that. God, bless us. The psalmist is, look at verses 6 and 7. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. Before anything else happens in the life of this church or in your life individually, we have to know the blessing of God. We have to know his goodness shining upon us. We have to know the embrace and the welcome and the love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, it's a passage all about how we are to love relentlessly those in the church and those outside the church. And it says, we love, 1 John 4:19, we love, why? Because he first loved us. It has to start here. The blessing of God comes to us by the glory of his grace. Through what Jesus has done in his death and resurrection, which, by the way, is why at the centerpiece of the worship of heaven will be the song, not just, hey Jesus, you are worthy, but worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And it says, who is worthy, Lion, tribe of Judah, to take the seal and to open the scrolls? And it says, you are worthy, Lamb of God, Lion of Judah, because you were slain. There is no greater display of God's glory than the glory of his grace shown to sinners like us in the offering up of the infinitely precious and valuable offering of his Son. That is the supreme display of the glory of God, and that is what we will wonder at for eons and eons. It has to start here, friends. Hold on to the gospel. Come back to the gospel every single week. Celebrate the gospel. Don't ever get tired of wondering at and rejoicing at the wonder of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace upon grace, John chapter 1, that comes from the fullness of the glory of God. We are so prone, are we not, to prioritizing other things. Even good things, it's not always good things, but often they're good things. Family, work, community, health. whatever it might be. There are so many things that basically end up becoming like idols that take our attention away from God and where we put our affections. And in that, we waste so much. We give up on so much. Some of you will know this wonderful C.S. Lewis quotation. Listen to what he says. If we consider the unblushing promises of reward, that's what we've been talking about, and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, and add in whatever little thing takes your attention most of the week. When infinite joy is offered us, we are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. End quote. Don't settle, friends, just for those things that glitter before us day by day. Look beyond those things to the eternal things. One of my favorite verses. You guys have heard me say that a lot, right? But this really is one of my, well, I've got like 100 favorite verses. This really is one of my favorite verses. Psalm chapter 73 from verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth there is none that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart, you can add in my work, my finances, my relationships, my mental health, whatever it might be, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It has to start there, dear friends. Everything else will fade away. But it does not end there. Not just that reality, and this is a danger for us, right? Yay, I'm blessed by the wonder of God's love for me. Close the doors, let's have a party. No, that's not what we're called to. First of all, yes, receive the glory of God. Wonder at his love in your life. Respond to it. Secondly, reflect the glory of God. You know what we are? We're just reflectors. That's basically who we are. This is the mission, to reflect the glory of God. That's what Fly Cup is about. A place of welcome, a place of love, a place of care. That's all about God, right? That's what the Summer Holiday Bible Club is about. A place of safety, a place of joy, reflecting God's glory. This is what Alpha is about. This is what wreath-making nights are about. This is what men's and women's Bible studies and small groups are about. We are to be people who are active for the sake of Jesus, but we are to be people who are energized and fueled not by duty, but by beauty. Beauty, not duty. Put that over the banner of every ministry in this church. It is the glory, the beauty of the glory of God that spurs us on. We do not do evangelism or social justice or Sunday gatherings because we must, but because we have been so struck by the wonder of Jesus that we cannot help but for that to spill out in multiple different ways in the ministry of Hillview Community Church. And this understanding of our calling, that we are to reflect God's glory, also keeps us focused on what the very heart of the message is. The message is not just you can or you must change your behavior in life. The message is not just you can or you must avoid hell. The message is not just you can or you must know lasting freedom and joy. That's all part of it. But the message, most fundamentally, our mission, most ultimately, is to say to people, look, look, to reflect God's glory. Look at how beautiful he is. Look at how wonderful he is. People see us and it points to God. Look at the wonder of his grace, his kindness, his mercy, his restoration, his eternal hope. Look at the wonder of this God who loves even a mess like me. Look, behold him. That must be the heart of our evangelism. God shines his light on us, and then we're to be little mirrors, little broken mirrors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says we're like jars of clay, and there's treasure inside. It's the treasure of God's glory. Let me switch the picture from a jar of clay. We're like a little broken mirror. And we stand, and day in, day out, week in, week out. That's why church is helpful, by the way. Come to church. Come to church every week, if you can. Unless you're not able, prioritize coming here, because it reminds us of this vital importance, right? We come day by day with God, and week by week together, and his beautiful glory shines on us. And as it hits us in our broken little mirrors, his beautiful light refracts into millions of different shades, and the light spreads everywhere. And someone over here sees the beautiful red of his sacrificial love. And his light shines and it hits the crack in our mirror, and someone over here sees the beautiful green of the new life that there is in Jesus Christ. And his perfect glorious light shines on us and hits our crack, and someone over here sees the warm and comforting sunset orange of God's beautiful care and love. And someone over here sees the beautiful purple of his radiant majesty and splendor. His light shines on us and refracts in countless ways to a world who needs to see different aspects of this beautiful God of ours. We are just reflectors. Hillview Community Church, shine the glory of God day by day and week by week. And do you want to know the awesome thing? This can be as simple as the way you eat or drink. Paul said it explicitly. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God. Eat your toast, eat your cornflakes to the glory of God. Drive to work, go on holiday, pick up your phone, grieve and rejoice, do the home banking, the way you talk, the way you care, the way you go to the dinner school at school lunchtime, do it all in a way that points back to the wonder and the goodness of who God is, in a way that makes clear that anything good we have is just but a reflection of his glorious character. Reflect the glory of God. That's the second thing. And then just in a sentence or two, finally, receive God's glory, reflect, refract his glory. Thirdly, finally, rejoice in the glory of God. Keep worship and wonder at the very heart of who you are. You remember the Israelites, remember back in Numbers, remember the Israelites as they journeyed, as they camped, what was to be at the very center of who they were? The tabernacle, right? That dwelling place of God's splendor, God's glory. That is to be like us. That's the end point. That's the goal of it all. That is indeed the purpose of the cosmos, to wonder at the glory of God. And I just want to say, on a personal note, what a gift it has been over many years to just point you back to the wonder of the majesty and the splendor of God. There's no higher calling that anyone could have than to seek, by God's grace, to help you see. Look how beautiful he is. What a gift. Thank you. There's nothing more beautiful than the glory of God, and the wonder is that we get to enjoy it and we get to celebrate it and rejoice in it. Don't ever, ever give that up, Hillview Community Church. It is your chief end to glorify God and enjoy him forever. My precious family, resolve, we will not be sleepy to the wonder of the glory of Jesus. Resolve today, nothing will keep us from this. You are the family of God, sharing the love of God for the glory of God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Hillview Community Church, grace be with you in this next season of your life together. I want to read Psalm 67 over you. I'm going to read it as a prayer over this church. Hillview Community Church, may God be gracious to you and bless you. May he make his face shine upon you so that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. Verse 6. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses you. God will bless you, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Even Hillview, even here in the northeast of Scotland, even in the new churches that are planted from this fellowship, may it be. We will fear him, we will receive and reflect and rejoice in his glory. And our hearts then will overflow in joyous praise, as happened with the Apostle Paul when he wrote, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. To you be glory. You who in your grace has sent the Lord Jesus to be our sacrifice, to be our victor, being the power of death, that we might know life in him, and in that, that we might be able to behold the wonder of your splendor and your glory. Oh God, you have done immeasurably more than anything we could ask or imagine, and you have continued to do that through the centuries, even to this point of the story of your kingdom, your building of your church here in Aberdeen. We thank you, God, for all that you have done in Hillview Community Church. And we thank you that as we reflect on that, on your grace and your mercy that you've shown to us, we thank you that we can reflect the wonder of who you are to this world. So be glorified, God, in these days, in the decades, and we pray centuries that will follow of faithfulness to you in this local expression of the body of Christ. Oh God, continue to do immeasurably more than anything we could ask or imagine, for the glory of your name, that many will come and see and fear and put their trust in Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our great King of glory. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you this day in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.